This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, we have budget officials and data today. Let's give you some of the numbers and then bring in Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman, a Democrat, who's joined us a number of times over the years. The state now has a projected surplus, $456 million for this two-year budget cycle. That's down $160 million from the previous estimates. And then when you look to the future, for the 28-29 biennium, the deficit has grown from the latest $5.1 billion estimate released in December. So these numbers are going the wrong way. Melissa Hortman is with us, like all guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So Melissa, when individuals like myself and many moderates, many Republicans, maybe many Democrats say, now, wait a second. We just had this $17 trillion surplus. The trifecta, that's when you had the governor's office.
Right.
Yeah. I went with trillion. I mean, just exaggerate. But let's go billion. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I'd see if you're paying attention right away. You know, I mean, I'm barely paying attention. It's better when the guests pay attention.
Different numbers with the federal government. It's all in trillions up there.
Yes, exactly. But that you guys spent too much. That there wasn't enough thinking of slowing down the growth of government and looking ahead and tax changes. And now this is coming back and they're pointing the finger at you and the Democrats. What do you say?
I would say that the difference between the November forecast and the forecast right now is Donald Trump. And it got worse because since Donald Trump has taken office, the projections for GDP growth are down, inflation is up, and they project also that mortgage rates will be rising. And so it is going to be more difficult in the future because of inflation. The costs in the state budget will increase at a faster rate. Revenues will increase because of inflation, but spending will increase because of inflation. When you look at the budget period that we're in right now, the Democrats just finished budgeting for, we're ending with a surplus of $3.7 billion cash on hand, cash left unspent, $3.7 billion. Plus, we have a reserve account of $3.5 billion that's untouched. So Democrats' management over the last 2 years is leaving Minnesota in excellent condition. Over the next 2 years, we have a projected surplus of $456 million if we spend $1.1 billion increase in government expenditures to match inflation. Now, if we choose not to do that, we could hang on to that $1.1 billion, not add it to the budget in this next two-year period. We can hang on to that $456 million projected surplus, and we would have a surplus of $1.6 billion. My recommendation for Democrats and Republicans working on the budget together this year is to hang on to as much of that $1.6 billion as we can to buttress the Minnesota economy for what could be coming in the future. Now, when you look at 28 and 29, it's long the road, and we can't necessarily take too many actions right now that will have a big impact on that outcome. But we can take a couple, and we should definitely try to bend the cost curve. Sure.
Okay, let me jump in. Because when you have a budget, and you know this, you are the speaker, you aren't just factoring for the 2 years. You're trying to set the state up to be in the best possible position for 4, 5, 10, 15 years, right? And I get it. You can only control what
few states.
But let me finish. So you can control the 2 years, but that's setting things up. So again, to go back to 17 to 18 billion, not trillion, billion, and people say, why didn't we use that better in case people see the federal government not run as smoothly as you think it is and feel like you could have tried to balance this out better. So if the federal uncertainty affects us, we're in a better position.
Yeah, well, I would say how much do you want us to leave on the bottom line? Because we left $6.2 billion of the $17.5 billion on the bottom line. We've got this $3.7 billion in the current budget period. We also have the highest reserve in state history. So of that $17.5, $6.2 billion is sitting there right now, ready to help us moving forward. That's responsible budgeting. But when we look in the out years, the hard thing for all of us is, in Minnesota, we take really good care of people. We have higher social service spending than other states. In Minnesota, we don't cap disability services. So in other states, they say, well, we only have so many slots, therefore, sorry, your family's going to help you out. Or if you're getting services and you're a person with disabilities, other states will say, well, there's a dollar cap per year, and so, hey, you need the occupational therapist to come in. Sorry, we can't pay for that. In Minnesota, we don't cap those things. And those services are expensive, and they're growing at a rate that's much higher than the rate of inflation. So that is a big part of the out years. The other thing in the out years is we've added inflation to the forecast now. And what we used to not count that. If we were still ignoring inflation, it would look like a $2.4 billion deficit in the out years and not $6 billion. But we do have to account for the fact that every day you go shopping, things cost more than they did the day before because of the impact of inflation. And that's true whether you're a school district or a city or a county. And we haven't accounted for that in Minnesota over recent years. So
well, I'm glad we are, but don't you have to account? Okay, and I'm glad you're doing that, but shouldn't you have accounted for that with the $17 trillion?
We were billion. We were not budgeting for the period of 28
and 29. I'm just testing you. I knew that time. I'm just joking.
The period that we budgeted for, like I said, we ended with $3.7 billion on the bottom line. Now, you know, the Republicans like to say, oh, they spent it all. We did not spend it all. Of the $17.5 billion, we've got $3.7 sitting there on the bottom line right now to carry over to the next budget period. And you see the Minnesota budget is shrinking. You know, we spent one-time money on one-time things. Imagine WCCO gave you a bonus. If you went and repaired your roof,
that's impossible.
That would be a non-recurring expense, right? That'd be the kind of thing you would want to use a bonus for. You wouldn't want to say maybe go lease a more expensive car or go buy a bigger house and increase your mortgage. And so what legislators did and the governor in 23 and 24 is we used one-time money on one-time expenses. So the state budget is resetting back down by $5 billion over the next two-year period.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let me give you a quote from the Speaker of the House. Your friend, you met so often with Lisa Damath, you should know each other extraordinarily well. Here's what she told reporters earlier today, and this is Melissa Hortman, the Speaker Emerita, representing the Democrats with us. This is Lisa Damath, the Republican Speaker. Democrats in the state of Minnesota spent $18 billion, didn't bat an eye when it came to raising taxes and fees by another $10 million. But now, when there are hypothetical potential federal cuts, they're losing their minds. They can deflect to Trump all they want, but this is Minnesota Democrats that have gotten our state into the position we are in. Is Lisa Damath lying when she's using the numbers, which are different than you're using?
No, she's not lying. She's doing a great job of political spin. She's completely ignoring the fact that for the period that we budgeted, we have a surplus of $3.7 billion right now. And in the next budget period, we have a surplus of $1.6 billion. She's ignoring those pieces of data completely, which show prudent financial management. Now, of course, we're
but she's also saying you raised taxes and fees by $10 billion. I haven't heard you acknowledge that.
I don't know what she's talking about there. I mean, she could be saying that there's an increase and she's adding up numbers over the next 50 years or something. I don't know what she's talking about there. But she's conveniently ignoring the budget periods that we were responsible for, where we have significant surpluses in both of those. 28 and 29 are years that should concern all of us on a bipartisan basis. And whether it's the cost of services in different parts of our budget increasing at a rate higher than inflation, or tariffs on China negatively impacted the economic forecast. So what you'll hear from the state economists when they start talking at 12:15, or I guess they're delivering that now, is that this state budget forecast takes into account economic data through February 10th. So it takes into account Trump's proposed tariffs on China. It does not take into account proposed tariffs on Mexico and Canada. And we know here in Minnesota.
But those go back and forth, right? He again today he is delayed.
He's an economic wrecking ball. This tariffs.
I mean, it's
forth.
In.
This is
and
nuts.
It's out. So are you telling me if it was President Kamala Harris right now, that these projections would be noticeably better than they are now?
Yes, because the economists are saying that the level of economic uncertainty has never been this high, because he's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow guy in Ghostbusters. You can never tell what he's going to do next. Today, the tariffs are on in Mexico. Tomorrow, the tariffs are off. If you want to build a house, the one thing you don't want is tariffs on Canada. We get a ton of lumber from Canada. Or if you're a Minnesota farmer and you want to sell your soybeans, you don't want USAID all of a sudden totally out of the blue annihilated. These are kind of radical economic actions that are going to have an impact on the Minnesota economy and the national economy. And when you look at the out years, 28 and 29, projected $6 billion deficit, every single year we get more than $20 billion from the U.S. government. If that goes away because of Donald Trump's erratic and chaotic actions, that is a much bigger consequence than the rate of inflation and providing social services to people we care about.
Okay, two last points, and I'll let you go. This is Melissa Hortman with us. A lot of people want to hear from Democrats that, yes, you're right when you say that we have advantages living in Minnesota that other states don't because of the size of our government, and there's a benefit to it. There's also concern about the growth of government. If I looked at the size of our budget during Tim Pawlenty's last year to now, it has increased astronomically. You, along with Tim Walz, are the two leaders of this party in this state that people look to. Tell me where Democrats are in favor of slowing down the increase in government.
Well, you saw the governor release a budget in January that slowed the growth in social services, and he got a lot of criticism for it. People said he was cold-hearted and didn't want to take care of people. That's what these decisions mean in the real world. They mean less money being spent on whether it's long-term care or services to people with disabilities. When you cut expenses in government, it has an impact on people's lives. And we together have to make these decisions. They are easy to attack. They are hard to make. And definitely inflation is having an impact on our economy and all of our pocketbooks.
But so is that nothing then?
Is what nothing?
That you cannot identify one or two areas of the Minnesota state government where you think Democrats should advocate to slow down the growth.
Well, I think that we absolutely have to slow down the growth in health and human services. And we've known this since 2005, since my very first session here, that because we have an aging population, we have fewer young workers than we do baby boomers retiring and senior citizens. We are going to have this inversion in our budget where health and human services are going to eat up a larger and larger portion of our budget. It's a hard thing to say, though. You know, what is the alternative to the state paying for this care? Families do this. You know, families take people into their home. We all know that we're ill-equipped. Some people are ill-equipped. I am certainly ill-equipped to take care of aging parents, and I am counting on there being a system of care for them. But it is a very expensive system of care. And if we value that and we want that and we don't want to cut, we do have to figure out how to pay for it. And it's getting more expensive each year.
I appreciate your availability, the sparring, and then we'll reach out again.
Sounds good. Have a good day. See ya.
Melissa Hortman, making herself available. I'll say the same with Lisa Damoth. She makes herself available. This is what politicians should do. And it's pretty obvious in this state which politicians are willing to take some questions and which are not. It's not just this show. Sure, I'd rather have them this show, but it's others. And some just want the softball stuff elsewhere. And that's wrong. And that's wrong to the citizens of this state. You agreed with Melissa Hortman? You thought she made tremendous points? Or you disagreed? Text away. 651-461-9226.